And welcome, my friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you, broadcasting from our basement out here on the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy, also in studio today with us. And Bill, we've come out of a period of time, some 40, 50 years, where we have seen something of a revival, something of a biblical, spiritual reformation of God's people. And here's the best way that I can describe what is happening. When you begin to see something good happening in the family, or something good happening with a homeschooling movement, or something good happening with the church, the devil shows up and he says, I've got a better idea. And
usually he says, I've got a different idea. And then he seduces you with difference better.
Yeah.
And because remember, it's, did God really say?
Uh-huh.
In other words, that's different. I've got something different and it's better.
And Bill, if you were the devil, no, you're not. But if you were the devil.
Thanks, Kevin. I appreciate that.
Wanted to qualify that for a moment. If you were the devil and you saw something good going on, like you saw 4.5 million Americans homeschooled, up from 100,000 in 1980, what would you do? You'd have to do something. You don't just let this go. If you saw something of a revival going on in a church, and by the way, this is what we see throughout history. You see a great awakening, you see revivals, but you also see 7 to 8 plaid-coated salesmen, snake oil salesmen, religious snake oil salesmen show up, and they're offering the counterfeit version of the awakening. You know, they're offering the counterfeit version of the revival. Inevitably, Bill, inevitably, when you see something good going on, when the Holy Spirit is active and there is a legitimate awakening going on in any given place, you know that you know that you know that the devil is going to show up with his plaid-coated lookalikes and it's going to be a knockdown dragout. Are you with me?
Yeah.
There will be a war. There will be a battle. There will be a pushback. And this is what we see, I believe, in so many instances. And I want to give some examples of that on this edition of the program. World Magazine has a very interesting and I think important article called Surrendering to the State. It came out just 2-3 days ago when state officials demanded U.S. foster agencies place children with homosexual couples. Guess what happened? Catholic agencies refused to place the kids with the homosexuals. But the largest evangelical agency said, sure, we'll do it. The devil showed up.
Yep, and Christians caved.
Happens too much. It happens too much. Basically, what happened was in Michigan, a few years ago, the president of Bethany Christian Services wrote a letter to the governor of Michigan arguing for liberty for Christian adoption agencies so they would not have to adopt their children to homosexual couples. The president of Bethany Christian Services, in the letter, he noted that in other states, some child placement agencies, most notably Catholics, quote, had to abandon their faith or abandon the children they serve. He said, that's an untenable choice. Now, sadly, when push came to shove a couple of years later, Bethany Christian Services decided to, guess what, abandon the faith instead of abandoning the children. So when they had a choice between abandoning the faith or abandoning the children.
Now, wait a minute.
They chose to abandon the faith.
By abandoning the faith, they did abandon the children. By abandoning the faith, they abandoned the children. They left the children out in the cold. And people say, no, they adopted them to homosexual couples. They adopted them to a loving family. No. What they did is they introduced them to perversion and child abuse.
Yeah. So, and much of this, Bill, much of this is pragmatism. See, we have to be careful about pragmatism. And there will be points at which we will be tested. All of us are tested. And we run the risk of losing influence. We run the risk of losing part of our business, part of our ministry. We will sacrifice something in the process. And that's hard to do. It would be hard to give up the ministry for the purpose of maintaining principle and maintaining integrity to the principle, the underlying principle, or the standard of righteousness. Very, very difficult.
No.
Very, very difficult.
It's not difficult if you have the proper perspective and understand whose ministry it is.
But
it's not your ministry. It's God's ministry. He will protect it. He will decide what to do with it.
Now see,
he will either flourish it or kill it on the vine.
But now see, you're assuming God's sovereign.
See, yes,
there
I
you
am.
Go again.
There I go again.
Your metaphysics is affecting your ethics. Your metaphysics, your view of reality, that God is sovereign over reality, allows you to maintain integrity to God's law and to God's ethics because you're willing to take that risk and take that chance and leave the consequences up to God. That's what's going on right here, Bill.
Yeah.
But I think what's happening is a bit of pragmatism. Pragmatism creeps into Christians. That is, you know, the way of thinking. If we don't adopt these children to homosexuals, then all of the children will suffer. In other words, if we don't just go ahead and submit to the state requiring us to adopt, you know, some 4, 5, 6% of the children off to homosexuals, the other 94% of the children will suffer. If we don't, you know, let's say the Nazi has a gun to our head, says, you kill this one Jew, or we will kill 10 more. Again, it's the pragmatism. If you don't kill one Jew, the Nazis said they will kill 10 more. So therefore, I must kill one Jew. See, this is the thinking.
It's the greatest good for the greatest number. It's utilitarianism.
Utilitarianism, right. Pragmatism usually gives way to utilitarianism. They're usually a twofer. Well, here's the answer to that question. Are you sure? How do you know? And you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because God's in control of the outcome, and you're not. And by the way, they're not either.
Right.
See, I think this is a lack of faith in God. This is a lack of faith in the sovereignty of God. At least you mentioned children suffer if you willingly adopt and foster to homosexuals. And children may suffer if you pull them out of the domestic adoption system. But you don't know. You actually don't know if they will suffer. If you pull out of the domestic adoption system and move more towards foreign adoptions, if Bethany did that, we don't know what would happen. We just don't know what would happen. So here's another point. Why didn't they just start a new aspect to the ministry where they could go into churches and inspire good Christian families to foster and to adopt instead of kowtowing to this requirement to foster and adopt to homosexuals? In other words, if they had just said, hey, the mission, the vision of this organization is really going to be to educate and to inspire Christian families to more adoption, and then you increase your supply of Christian families willing to foster and adopt from secular sources, what if they did that? Maybe God would bless that. But did they really have to kowtow to the requirement to adopt to homosexuals? By the way, friends, Christian businesses, rentals, wedding businesses, schools, colleges, even churches, I think are going to lose everything to homosexuals unless they fight for the principle, unless they go for the principle, unless they press the Supreme Court to reverse Obergefell. If Christians don't get aggressive and call for God's law to be the standard for society as the principle, as the basic principle for society, then they will lose to the homosexuals. That's just the way it goes. If you forfeit the principle of the matter, then you're going to lose everything. So if you're a Christian listening to this program, if you're a Christian pastor, unless you have the guts to stand on God's laws, the basic principles of God's laws, guys, you're going to be persecuted. You're going to lose your job. You're going to lose your colleges. You're going to lose your business. You're going to lose the right to free speech. You're going to lose everything. If you don't stand on principle, you're going to lose everything anyway. What do you think, Bill? Am I going too far on that one?
No, I don't think you. I don't think you can overstate it. And it's what happened with Christians in Nazi Germany. They were done in by the death of a thousand cuts. Okay, and they kept giving and giving and giving to the state, and the state exceeded its jurisdiction, and as a result, we saw millions of people slaughtered. And that's why the church has to exercise its jurisdiction and speak truth to power, to speak grace to the culture, and proclaim God's word in every aspect of culture.
And we'll be back in just a moment, friends, with more. How does all this apply to us? We're going to draw this to an application in just a moment on the Generations broadcast. It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith, and it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson. And I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom. A biblical case. A historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leyden, and William the Silent? The American Pilgrims and the Battle for King's Mountain. How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org. We're back on the Generations radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson here. Bill Jack also in studio. Friends, encouraging you not to give way to pragmatism. Stand on principle. Otherwise, you wind up losing it all. You, Uzzah, the great super Uzzah, who flew in to save the Ark of the Covenant as it came back into Israel. You remember super Uzzah came in to save the Ark, and God killed him for it.
Right.
Maybe shouldn't have done that. But see, he was afraid of what was going to happen, Bill. He was afraid of the consequence of what would happen if he didn't save the Ark. But he touched it, and God told him not to touch it. See, God is in control of the consequences, and friends, we're responsible to just be obedient to God instead of being super pragmatists like Uzzah and, of course, Saul. The other great example of that. All right. Well, Teen Challenge. Let's talk about Teen Challenge. Here's another article from World Magazine. World Magazine's done two good articles on these issues in terms of the relationship of our ministries to the state. In this case, it was Teen Challenge, now 60 years old. This year, 60 years.
Wow.
Great ministry. I've had nothing but good things that I've heard concerning Teen Challenge, started by Dave Wilkerson and his brother Don. His brother Don's not as well known, but Don and Dave Wilkerson started Teen Challenge on the streets of New York City. Remember, for the drug addicts?
Right.
Remember that? 1959.
Right.
Well, this is the 60th anniversary of Teen Challenge, but this article from World Magazine, excellent, by the way, friends. Back in 1995, according to the article, hundreds were gathering outside the Alamo in San Antonio to protest the Texas Commission on Alcohol and Drug Abuse's move against Teen Challenge of South Texas. See, what happened was the Texas officials were demanding that Teen Challenge counselors sit through classroom instruction on secular ways of handling addiction. Now, what they have done in the past is they've stood up and said, Jesus is the way. Jesus sets the captives free. Believe in Jesus, and he will set you free. And if you will be free, you will be free indeed. If the Son will set you free, you will be free indeed. So they were bringing Jesus in, and it was been a powerful, powerful program, one of the most effective programs at bringing healing to drug addicts over anything else ever in the history of the modern world. Yeah. Teen Challenge has done amazing work. But the devil showed up and said, here, let me help you do this better.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Let's take a different approach.
Number one, we take Jesus out of it. Now, anytime somebody steps up and says, I know you've been talking about Jesus as Savior, as Deliverer, as the great and wonderful captain of our salvation to set us free from our addictions and our sinful habits, but we have something better for you. Friends, you know, it's the devil. Well, the devil showed up in Texas and the devil said, hey, let's get these teen challenge counselors through this classroom instruction on secular ways of handling addiction. The counselors were former addicts who knew every trick of the trade. They refused. Okay. So they protested at the Alamo. That's pretty neat. Yeah. It's a neat story. And it was covered by World Editor-in-Chief Marvin Olasky, good guy. It got the attention of then-Texas Governor George W. Bush. George W. Bush, the governor, called the bureaucracy off, praise God. But then he began to advocate faith-based initiatives, and guess what happened with the faith-based initiatives? With the faith-based initiatives, what happened was they started to offer government funding.
So instead of coercing people, they tried to seduce people.
That's exactly right.
And to feeding at the government trough.
That's exactly right. And so now here's a great article on this. Apparently X percent of Teen Challenge, I don't know how many, but a percentage of these Teen Challenge organizations went for the dollar. They're gaining the dollars and they are also going through state licensing for the Teen Challenge offices. And according to this, Don Wilkerson and the other board members stood up and said, we're not going this direction. We're going to keep Jesus in the program. If you want to go for the dollars and you're going for the state certification, then you need to change your name and develop your own 501c3.
Good for them. Good.
Praise God. Yeah. I know. Praise God. Don Wilkerson still standing for Jesus in 2019, 60 years later. Got to appreciate a guy like that.
Yeah, because he's standing for principle over pragmatism.
Yeah. Well, the same thing has happened to homeschooling, and we'll end on this. Homeschooling was a wonderful option, and it was an attempt to separate from state licensing and state control. In 1994, about the same time that the state went after Teen Challenge, you do remember that the federal government of the United States of America, the legislature, the House of Representatives, went after homeschooling, intending to require a licensure for all moms and dads, moms yeah. and pops, who were attempting to homeschool across America. And you remember what happened. We shut down
the phone lines.
Phone lines. And
they crashed. They because crashed. Because they couldn't handle the volume.
For like 5 days.
Right.
Yeah. There weren't calls coming in. There weren't calls going out. Why? Because homeschoolers got involved, as did Homeschool Legal Defense Association. So we're thankful that God in his grace saved us from state licensure, the requirements that would have been imposed upon homeschoolers to shut us down, because the demons, friends, the demon world, the satanic world of principalities and powers will do everything they can to shut homeschooling down. Why? Because, well, the Satan is a concern that the truth is going to make it out. Somehow we're going to find a way as homeschoolers to bring a God-centered, Christ-centered, God-glorifying science, history, and literature approach into these homes. And you can bet every demon in the universe is going to be opposed to that with everything in it. And so they attempted to stop it by this legislation, but by the grace of God, the legislation was stopped. And so, because they could not shut us down by a front-end approach, they decided to go the other way. And since 1995, the government has been providing charter schools. The government's been providing free curriculum, vouchers. The government's doing everything it can to bring homeschooling back under the funding and the control of the state. And as much as a third to one half of the homeschooling movement in Colorado and Alaska and California and most other states have succumbed to government funding and government control, because that's pretty much what happens.
Yeah, it's the iron fist and the velvet glove. We'll give you money and we'll help you. We're here to help you. And that's not what they're here to do.
And I know what people are thinking. Initially, there weren't that many strings attached to this program. And I just simply signed up and I got $2,000 of a voucher. And it was all government supplied and it was all free. And the government official was so nice as he presented it to me.
And he's then I can do whatever I want to in my own home. I just have to use their curriculum.
Yeah, but as the years go by, guess how that curriculum impacts a child's mind. Friends, when Jesus isn't on every page, when the Word of God is not as a frontlet, which is the requirement of God's Word, that, yes, the Word of God, Bible verses, be a frontlet, thoroughly integrated into the history textbook, the science textbooks, the literature textbooks. Yes, the Word of God, the ideas of the fear of God, the reverence of God, the importance of God, the significance of God, interrelated to every aspect of our children's education. There needs to be that integration of God's Word into every aspect of our children's education. And that, my friends, is not allowed by these state-funded programs. Just simply the fear of God, the reverence of God, the Word of God as a frontlet, not allowed. Not allowed by government-funded programs. You're not allowed to do it God's way if you give way to government-funded programs. And it's a little bit like the camel's nose under the tent. You remember the story of the camel?
Yeah.
It was a little chilly. It was a little chilly on the desert floor.
Well, it was a sandstorm.
It was a sandstorm.
And the merchant.
And a bit chilly.
And the merchants felt sorry for the camel. So
they
said.
And the camel said, get a little bit of the nose.
Just
a little bit of the nose. A nose hair or two. And what did the merchant say?
Well,
it's just a nose.
Sure. And then he felt sorry because of the camel's eyes.
Yeah.
So let's
get a little sand in the eyes.
So let's get his head under there.
Got to get the head under the tent.
And then pretty soon, what happened?
But the head, then the shoulders, then after the shoulders, what happens?
Well, the merchant ends up outside, the camel ends up inside.
Yep.
And
so, friends, that is what happens when you take the funding and the control of your education for your children from the government. What Caesar owns and what Caesar pays for, Caesar will control. That's just the way it works. That's the way it works. And that's how you would ruin something good, Bill, if you were the devil. Wouldn't you do that, Bill? Absolutely. Can't shut the thing down on the front end, but you can always offer a carrot. You can always offer a little reward on the front end. And then, after a while, the camel's controlling the education of your children. And the biblical approach is dead and gone in your home, in your children's education. Well, these have been several examples of it. The example of Teen Challenge, the example of Bethany Christian Services, in both cases, they succumb to government funding, government control, and they are unwilling to stand on the principles of God's Word. What's the underlying principle here, Bill? There's got to be something of an underlying lesson here. I guess we have to move ahead in faith. I guess we need to trust in God and perhaps not trust in the government, trust in government funding, and perhaps even at points risk arrest and risk some persecution from the government if we're going to stand strong on the principles of God's Word.
Yeah, we need to stand for liberty, freedom, not just for us, not just for our children, but for all around us. And we need to proclaim liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
Well, I summarize these principles in my little book, The Story of Freedom. And friends, I would encourage you to that book, The Story of Freedom, and the Islands of Freedom that are provided for us in the present day. All of this contained in my little book, The Story of Freedom, and the battles we're engaging in the present day. We've been touching on some of those on this edition of the program. But friends, get the whole story of how men and women of faith have engaged the battle for freedom over the last 1,000 years and the specific battlegrounds that we are fighting in the present day. All of that contained in my book, The Story of Freedom. We also have a study guide for that, which we provide for high school level students. If you would like to purchase a study guide for that, that would be great as well. The Story of Freedom and the study guide available at our website, generations.org or kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack in studio, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.